All right, so here we are live on BBS Radio nationwide, global. Thank you all for those who participate online. Thank you, BBS Radio, for broadcasting us. Thank you to the sponsor who's paying for this. And we have still the phone lines open, and we are greeting those who joined in on the conference call. And I believe we had another person join in. And if you want to, you may say a name or location.
Hi, Susan from Michigan.
Hello, Susan. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
What city in Michigan are you?
Pinckney.
Mutiny?
Pinckney, with a P.
Pinckney.
Very small.
What a good name, though.
Thank you.
Pinckney, wow.
Yes, Pinckney Elohim.
Right. That's right. Terry's not on yet, is she? And Carla's not on, huh?
Correct.
I'm getting so codependent.
Now, those here on the phone line, I want to ask you, if you received today's email with the announcements? Let me first welcome the person who has joined in. Good morning. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Good morning. Thank you. Joel in Chicago.
Hey, Joel. How are you doing, man?
Good. Hey, just a kind of a sad note. I had Will, who was just joining our calls a couple months ago, passed away. He said he finished Wynn's book, and he finished The Law of One, book one. I met with him for coffee, and he passed away the next day. But he said, I'm getting a lot out of this, and he said he really felt good. He felt centered, and then I got a call from his son saying that he had passed away. So
wow.
I'm happy for him, but it was very, very sudden. They didn't expect it. He was 70.
He was 70? Was he ready to leave, or?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know, there's that famous saying that humans got it wrong. We should be crying when this new baby coming into this realm, but celebrating when somebody leaves.
You know when? You know what I told him when he said he passed away? I said, I'm happy for him. And I said, oh, excuse me, let me qualify that statement. I see it a little bit differently, so don't think I'm a jerk. So, but we had a great conversation. It was really sudden, but like he said, he loved your book, and he said that brought so much to light. And then he said he read book one. And finished it up. He said, I'm getting a lot out of it. And he passed away the next day, or that evening, actually. So.
Hmm.
I'm gonna go get Terry on the line. I'll be back in a moment.
If you've been in here on the phone line, welcome, everybody. And if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Good morning. Hi, it's me. Barbara.
Hello, Carla. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. God bless everybody. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Hi, Carla.
Hey.
Hey.
Funny. Had more people join in. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Lucy from Orlando.
Lucy was dominating over here. It was two people speaking at the same time. Hello, Lucy. Welcome to the call. And there was another lady. Say your name and location.
Julia from Humboldt County.
Oh, hi, how are you doing?
Provided by freeconferencing.com. Please enter the access code followed.
Let's see, who is that?
Sharing the whole thing.
Zoe, are you here? Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, good, what's up, guys?
Just another day.
Yeah.
And we had more people join in. We welcome you all. Please say your name and location.
Area, Nevada.
Good morning and welcome to the call.
Thank you. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you. And happy life.
Yeah, you too.
Good morning and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Victoria from Sumner, Washington. Happy Sunday morning. Blessings.
Victoria, it looks like the sun is shining on your end.
Oh, yes, the sun is shining. It's lovely. It's beautiful.
Great. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Absolutely.
Zoe, Sacramento.
Hi, Zoe. Hello. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Zoe. Francis here.
Hi, Francis.
And more people have joined in. Welcome you all, and if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Rosalie in Huntsville.
I did not copy that. Please repeat.
Rosalie in Huntsville.
Oh, hi, Rosalie. Welcome to the call.
How are you? Thank you.
Well, how are you doing?
Is that Rosalie Tackett?
That's Rosalie Tackett. How are you doing, man?
Good morning, Rosalie.
Good morning, everybody.
And more people join. We welcome you all. Please say your name and location. Welcome,
Chris.
Chris.
I accidentally hung up.
Okay.
Is Carla here?
I am.
Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Sire. How are you?
Sire? You're thinking you're high today.
Just say, I don't know, Wynn.
All right, I'm fine, all right? I'm fine.
Oh, that didn't sound very honest.
I didn't think we were using titles this morning, Carla.
All right, we had a bunch of more lines come in. I welcome you all, people, and if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don.
Roger in Austin.
Hi, everybody.
I hear Don, and I hear Roger. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Welcome to the call to you both, and I believe more people came in, and if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Debbie from Costa Mesa.
Hello, Debbie. Welcome
Hello.
To the call. How are you doing?
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hey, Wynn. I'm good. How are you doing, sweetie?
You have a good job now?
I have a job, and I have fun. So if it's good, I would always like more of the dinero, but yeah.
All right, good.
So good morning, and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
I'm so glad you can hear me. I've been having trouble with that lately.
Hey.
Hope everybody's
good morning,
well.
Morgan.
Hi, Dom. Hope everybody's well. Who was that?
You know, Debbie, can I tell them about your secret life?
Wait, my secret what?
Your secret life.
What? I don't even know about my secret life. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I made this decision that you were something in the past. Remember?
Oh, yeah. No, but I'm sure I would not be... no, go ahead. I'll learn too.
Okay. Well, you know, Debbie used to come around our booth, I think, at the Conscious Life Expo. And she is like the most exuberant, fun person. And I've learned to recognize people like that that have certain qualities. Now, I don't know about everyone, but somehow intuitively I can tell. I decided that Debbie was a dolphin in a past lifetime because the one attribute of dolphin consciousness is I just want to have fun. And they're just so cheery. And Debbie had that quality. Plus, she was blonde and she was attractive. And I still think that. So when she goes, even her, she's one of those people that could even go to a humdrum job and manage to cheer everybody up and make it work. Am I right, Debbie?
Yeah,
right?
That's true. You got to have fun. I mean, what are we here for? Well, we are here for, you know, very important
fun.
Reasons, but let's have a good time while we're here and do it.
Here.
Like,
we're going to re-release Cyndi Lauper's song and say, Dolphins just want to have fun.
There you go.
So do dogs.
I'm sorry, that's Sophie from Memphis.
That's who? Who from Memphis?
That's Sophie from Memphis.
Sophie.
Sophie, dog
want to have fun too.
Is that your dog? Yeah. That's your dog, eh, Chris?
That's my dog.
Mm-hmm. He wants to have fun also.
She's my guardian dog. So.
And is Terry on the line?
Yes, Terry is, I believe. Yes, Terry is here. Hello, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
Are you taking a refresher course at Unmute University?
Yeah, I have to do two things. I have to unmute it and pull out the power cord because when I don't, it gives a big hum.
I see. So if you remember to charge your phone the night before, that wouldn't happen, right?
I don't know. It seems to lose charge over the night, but...
Okay. All right.
No,
well, I think...
Heard of the batteries can go get, what do you call it, drain. Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. I've had to have a couple of batteries replaced on the phone. Is it under warranty?
Mm-hmm.
No. Did you find that they drained their charge?
They wouldn't either hold a charge or they wouldn't or they drained really quickly. So it's the part of the battery that's the problem. It's worth checking out.
Oh, okay.
Two batteries on hand.
Because
that's
a good idea. Good idea. Thank you.
The dings are off, Wynn. It's 10:08.
Hi, Terry.
BBS.
Hi.
How are you, Terry?
I'm good, thanks.
All right.
All right. I think we'll start our recording because we're not ready, okay?
No, we're never ready, so that's okay.
Right. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody. This is August 4th, 2013. And we are here for our Sunday Planetary Grid personal healing session. And we have Carla Ruckert, Terry Brown, and you know what? I'm so excited about that idea that I did of making a subgroup of people who really like to come to the conference calls and listen to and get notifications. And, you know, every time I do something, it's like to the group, then there's always like a status quo, and it's always comfortable. Stay with the status quo. But every time you do something, there's thought that, oh my God, am I going to upset people? Is this going to work? Everything's kind of working already. But I kept having this experience of every time I would send out an email blast, I kind of felt a rejection. I felt, well, you know, I feel energy. I mean, that's one of the good news is and bad news is at this job. You feel energy. In fact, I'm sure Carla feels energy and Terry feels energy. And when you offer something and it's not accepted, I don't think you can help but feeling a little bit of hurt. Now, you get over it quickly. But nonetheless, when I send out an email, and I know that, well, there's this many people opening it, and the rest are signing it on, I feel a little guilty because I feel like I'm imposing on people, you know, that don't want the email. Right? It's just sitting in their email box. And I know how they feel because there's people that email me that I'm on certain lists and that I never open their emails. So I'm just waiting for their super subject line to make me open an email, and otherwise I don't open it. And so I know there's people getting my emails that are the same way. And they don't know what happens on these calls. And I think if they knew, they'd
they'd want to show up. But the challenge in this realm is, how do you communicate that to somebody? You come to my great call today, we have all this stuff, and they don't even open the email. So it's like, now I have segmented my list, and I can tell who's really interested and who is peripheral. And, I mean, even peripheral people might be interested, but they are too busy. They have a family. They just don't want to take the time. They don't know what's happening. And so it's great to have that segmentation where it kind of, I actually makes me feel more like a family connection to all those people that joined the sublist. Do you know what I'm talking about, Carla? Carla and Terry don't even know what I'm talking about.
Because, you know, I have a lot of email, and I think of a lot of it as spam. And
yeah.
I think of it as spam because I'm just not interested, and I delete it without looking at it. Most of it is from stores, but there's the occasional spiritual or quasi-spiritual website that I know goes out to 40 trillion people and me, and somehow I got on their list, and there's nothing personal there. And mm-hmm. I just delete it. And what if I thought that about you and deleted yours? You know, that would be sad. So I know exactly mm-hmm. what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'm using what's called an autoresponder. And an autoresponder is like an automated system. And you can actually send emails to 100,000. Some people do this. They send emails to 100,000 people at a time. And they're usually selling something, and oftentimes it's, you know, a business, because if you have 100,000 people in your list, whatever you sell, somebody's going to buy it on an ongoing basis, and so it becomes a business. Now, I do that. I sometimes sell things. You know, we put out the workshop, and we put that out. Sometimes I put pendants. You know, when I put the pendants out to the list, it actually, we were selling them in stores for a year at least, maybe longer, before I had the courage to put them out on the list. In fact, it was scary to put them in the first store. You know, I remember feeling like, well, you know, I have a self-image, and my self-image makes me think of myself. I'm an author, and I'm also influencing people in a spiritual way. And I happen to be good at business. And I didn't, even in Sedona, it's a small town, but I'm thinking, I don't want people to see me as a vendor. I don't want that image. And what if no one likes it? Even to go into a store and put it in, I said, maybe I got a lot of bad feedback. I remember I was very sheepish when I went into this first store, and I made a little tiny display. I said, could we put this on your table to see if you know, how people respond? And I said, I'll just put it on consignment. And I put it in there. And, you know, I didn't even want to check on it for a while. And I was like, what are those things? Well, probably no one's buying them. Nothing's going on. And then a couple of weeks later, I went in, and it was just a nutrition counter. And the guy, Jeff, that was there, said, what's in these things? They're selling like crazy. He said, "You know, Sedona's a pretty sophisticated town. Everyone's into alternative health. Everyone's into energy. And I had the idea that they worked. You know, we just passed them around to a few people. And then he told me, people are muscle testing here, that we have the psychics coming in, everybody's coming in. And they sold like 70 in 2 months, okay? And it was like they couldn't believe it. And finally I went in and I put a bigger display in, and the woman that was buying them didn't have it on consignment. And, you know, at the time,
we were trying to figure out how to do all this stuff that we do for free and pay the bills. And mostly, Terry owns a house here. She has considerable overhead. And I had the idea, well, we'll put them in some stores in Sedona. This is the perfect city for them. And if we get enough stores, we'll have a little extra money and we'll pay the bills. And we did. We put them in about 10 stores, and it was working. And it just kept growing. It's still growing. And I'm pretty sure it's going to grow into a huge business. Huge. And it all came from me overcoming my resistance and sheepishly putting them in my first store. And, you know, I wanted to, you know, recommend something to people. That there's a lesson in this that anyone can use. That is, all of us have something we can do like that. And oftentimes, and I've made this mistake, before you do something that's scary and maybe it won't work, you start telling all your friends about it. You start telling everyone about it. So now, if you fail, you got to fail publicly. Don't tell anybody about it. Speak yourself out and do something in a very small way and see if it works. And then, like, build it slightly and build it. And then once it's working, you can tell all your friends about it because they can't take it away from you at that point. Oftentimes, our friends, I mean, the really best friends aren't like this. But oftentimes we have friends that would be jealous of us if we were really successful. And when you, it's so subconscious, you don't even know it's taking place. But when you talk to somebody who has that predisposition and you tell them something that you're doing that could be successful, you're actually bringing their energy into what you're doing, and you're risking the chance of ruining that seed, that tiny, fragile seed that could grow. I mean, one of the things that lots of people have experienced is, oh, there goes our other phone. How do I turn that off? Hang on. Okay. One of the things that many people have experienced with that regard is when they have the beginnings of a new relationship. They meet somebody they like, but they think this could be a person that I could really go for. And never, ever tell anybody. Let me just say, not never, ever, but just be really careful of who you tell. Because so many people would be wishing they had a great relationship. And they can so easily be jealous if they think you're going to have one. And you take things like that and keep it to yourself until you figure out where to place it. Because, you know, every moment, this is like a big concept here. Every moment, the universe is recreating itself. Every single moment. And our goal is to stand in the middle of that recreation, not to be stuck in the past, not to be stuck in the future. The now is where the energy is. And as soon as you talk, if you're doing something, as soon as you talk about it to someone else, you are now recreating your universe with that person's hologram in it because you chose to share it. So oftentimes people share things because I can remember when I was younger, I'll give you an example. I didn't feel very acceptable. I mean, I felt like I didn't fit. And if I was doing something that was big, that I would always tell everyone about it, because suddenly people were interested in me, if you follow what I'm saying. They were interested. And prior to that, they weren't interested. So, let me see. Who's making all that noise up the line?
Oh, that might be me.
Is that you?
I'll put it on mute. Yeah, there was somebody calling in, and they wanted to know the number to get on today because their internet was down. So,
okay,
they'll be on.
So, so many of the things I talked about, when I look at it now, I realized I blew the energy on it. I screwed up, and because I brought the energy in of a lot of people on everything that might have happened that would very likely have been jealous if it happened. And I didn't actually understand that principle at the time. But I do now. I do, and I watch those things. And I've learned to share things with other people after they're completed, or if you have someone that you really feel that heart connection with, and you know that they support you for your, without any jealousy, then that person can actually help hold the energy for something. You know, one of the things we're doing, we're supporting all of you, and many of you have had breakthroughs, and it kind of blows my mind, because we're making this work, and we're actually becoming a really supportive family that all of you are taking to heart. You know, I remember when I was younger, and I thought of the idea of being successful, and I thought that, God, it would be really lonely to be successful, because I don't have anyone to share it with, and I felt the need to share it, because otherwise I would be stuck being really successful, being at the top of something. And subconsciously, I didn't want that, even though on the outward levels, I did. Because I wanted to share it. And it's like, you know, all of you, whether you realize it or not, it's like Dave and Mesa had been working so hard to get a job, and he was on the verge of, I hope he doesn't mind me talking, I don't think he does. On the verge of moving out and wondering where he was going to live, and suddenly he has a job. And, you know, he comes on the line and he talks about it. And it's so exciting to have a group that shares your success. And it makes you have the confidence to be successful. And I hope we could do that for as many of you who would draw on that as possible, because we have created an energy of oneness, and you know, creating that list of people who really want to get the messages from these calls, for me is a big deal. So, I don't know if you can understand it, but it's a big deal, because you are the ones who are really, really on the inside track of this family that's happening with this energy that happens on these calls, where this feeling of oneness and, you know,
this morning, I got so many emails from people responding. And I'm going to spend part of the rest of the day just answering everybody and saying thank you. Because you're not anonymous. You've been anonymous for a long time. And you think you're anonymous. And as far as I'm concerned, I know you're there. I feel your energy. As far as our sources are concerned, they actually tune in. They say this, and I think it's true to many of you have had experiences. They actually tune in to you in a way that so many of you have felt that shift, felt that feeling of loving that's coming from the higher realms, that even when you're not getting it here, even when it's not happening in your physical life, you're still getting that feeling of being loved. And you are being loved. But so many people have no idea how to tune into that. And I know that these calls have been helping and helping you succeed at that. Because once you have that feeling of being loved, all those obstacles that are in the world can start to slip away. Because when you express a loving consciousness into the world, unfortunately, the world, the greater world, responds exactly to what you're putting out. And so when you're feeling unworthy, the world looks at you as being unworthy. When you're feeling unloved, the world looks at you like you don't deserve love. When you're feeling financially deprived, you go out, the world responds to you just as you're feeling. And it feels like you're lucky if you get a job or if you make money. Because in your consciousness, you keep telling the universe, I don't deserve it. And when you start feeling this loving energy that can come in from other realms, that seems to be happening for the people on this line, many of you. And if it's not happening yet, it's something, if you keep coming in, I believe you can look forward to it. When you feel that loving energy, you suddenly feel loved. And as soon as you feel loved and you go out in the world responds. Some of you may have had the experience, you know, you were lonely, no one was interested in you. And as soon as you had a relationship, all these women or all these men started suddenly paying attention to you. Why? Because you were feeling loved, and suddenly you're more attractive. Well, here's the trick. If you can feel love from the other side, you become more attractive just as well, and people, you know, gravitate towards you. Jobs become easier. You know, think about it. If you're the boss in a given office, if they not work for the big corporate automaton structures, but it works in a lot of other places, and that is, you know, when they're looking for someone to do a job, of course you need certain skills to do the job, and you know, it's like you need the skills. But if they have 10 people that have qualified skills and they get to meet someone that makes them feel good, that they can feel the loving of that person, guess who's going to get the job? The person that can hold the loving energy. Because who doesn't want loving energy in their office? You know, offices can be really a grind. People can be really wishing they weren't there. And suddenly, I mean, Terry was a good example when she used to go into her law office. You know, it's like, I mean, she was in a law office and these guys are under stress from doing all their, she had nice people in her office. But nonetheless, I think she helped lift, I know she helped lift the vibration of the whole office. And they loved her, and she worked for many years in the same office. And that's one of the keys to getting a job, is to learn how to switch your energy so that you're loving, because everybody likes a loving person. And learning to detach yourself from the dilemmas and the obstacles of the moment and not let them keep you compressed. Because when you make phone calls, when you go looking for a job, when you do anything that involves bringing in other people to help you, you know, even if it's making a movie, the more love you radiate, the more you get the support of other people, because you make people feel better. And in today's world, particularly, people are really going through it. We're in a shift. The systems are breaking down. The world's breaking down. And we see it. And it's like people are nervous and they're anxious and they're scared. Even the bosses are scared. Is the business going to last? Can they endure the financial changes? And all you got to do is learn how to tap into that loving part of yourself. And that, I hope these calls are helping you. I think they are. I know they are for many people, because we moved in to a loving space. It's not of this dimension. We move into a loving space that moves through us from the outside of ourselves. And as you integrate that, as you really, truly integrate that you are loved, that you are cared for, and even if not a single human does it for you, we have these huge... And this is what they say. If you're listening and you're new to these calls, you have to have this experience. But these huge group souls that have been faced with the challenge of how to help humans. You know, if you, I highly recommend, I'm going to put out a mailing later today about the Monday session we did, or the Saturday session we did yesterday on the connection between Ra and Jesus. And although Ra does not, in the record material, Carla's material, ever directly say that, I drew the connection. They do say they work with people that request their help. They say that, and they say something else. They say, Carla, what do they say about that? How do they say they work with us?
They say that they wait for people to ask a question that is in the same vibration with the material that they put out, so that they know that what they're offering is, you know, vibrationally helpful with them.
Mm-hmm. So their challenge, in my opinion,
if they care to accept it,
is how do we make those humans aware of us? So that they'll ask, all right? And one of the ways is putting out the raw material through Carla is probably the strongest thing of the raw material is that if people relate to it in the highest manner, they say, well, who are these guys? Maybe I should ask. It's a temptation to ask. They put through their history. They put through that they're real. And the Elohim is the same way. And that figuring out how to feel their energy and then ask. And then your life begins this process of totally new possibilities. So My take on this, and I did a lot of research, which if you, when I send this email out, I'm going to put the Monday call where I put the postulate out that Ra worked very closely with Jesus. And there were many things that I uncovered. It's
not because I believed channeling or they said it. I wouldn't have believed it if they said it. But I did a huge amount of cross-referencing in history and channelings, and not just mine, other people's. And it's pretty compelling putting together an indication that Ra was very involved with Jesus. And then on the Saturday call, we focused. We went out of water, and we focused on the Ra-Jesus connection. So the value of this is that here are these two group souls that can help us. Some of us will resonate more with the Elohim. Some of us will resonate more with the Ra group. Some of us will resonate with both groups. We're really old souls. We've passed through the energies of both. And that this kind of just kind of wakes you up, and it makes sense, and it starts building the connection. In both cases, when you're reading or we're talking about those, like, you know, I said if you are doing something and you tell somebody about it and they're jealous, how it sabotages you, it brings in an energy. Everything you talk about is recreating the moment. Everything you think about is recreating the moment. Now, these group souls are real, and you start thinking about them and start contemplating it. You're recreating the moment and bringing in what I think is the highest, most powerful energies on the other side into your reality. Not into a belief, not into I believe they're real, but into their reality. And all of this talking we do is to get through one's logical, analytic, conscious mind. So they start thinking, maybe this is real. Maybe I should try asking. Maybe I should look for that energy. Because the energies are subtle. They don't get you over the head. Sometimes they do. Everyone's an individual. And, you know, in general, they're subtle energies. And they can become very strong, but it starts off with a tiny little tingle. Many of you are feeling it right now just because I'm talking about them. And, of course, when we do our visualization, it can get really, really powerful. And suddenly, we really are experiencing having friends, real, they exist, you know. And there are millions of them, and they're sitting there saying, how can they help us? I mean, they can assign a group to work with you. There's way more of them than people are asking, I believe, down here. And so this is something that you have to learn how to work. And I thank so many of you, because I take those people that responded to joining this special subgroup that are getting conference call notifications. I thank them because it's an affirmation. It brings me closer to you. It brings you closer to me. It brings you closer to them. And I'm not a joiner, believe me. Most of my life, if I ever went into a room and somebody was giving a talk, I'd be sitting by the door ready to leave. And I'm not even a joiner here. I show up. I'm not a member of anything. I show up. But nonetheless, I feel a great sense of responsibility for this, because I know it's changing many of you out there. And if you're listening to this call and you're wondering what we're talking about, we have so many things that are available for free. The spiritchannel.net, llresearch.org has loads of transcripts, and Carla's books are free on there. I would suggest that immerse yourself into it. Immerse yourself. And in particular, we just did the Ra Jesus Connection workshop. And, you know, what do we have? We have 6 of the Ra sessions. You can make a donation of anywhere from $5 to $25 and get the whole thing, 18 hours. Don't think that this is not the most valuable thing that you've ever been offered. just because it's only $5. We do that because I know this can change your path. Many of the things we offer for free can change your path. And there's something in humans to think if I don't pay for it, it has no value. And, you know, we have to ride the line of offering things for free. And when we sell something and we ask for something, you know, and it's only $5. You know what? If everyone on our list spent $5 to get that series of workshops, 18 hours, we'd be really good. But, it's a small group that's interested. But, this is where you can avail yourself of the opportunity to get maybe some of the most, not many people have said this, that we have the most powerful teachings on the planet. I get that a lot, and I think that could be true. I mean, there's many, many people that have great things to offer, and I still browse the internet and I still read things that other people are putting out. But what were the idea of helping people create a liaison between their alienated, lonely physical self and these group souls that can shower them with love is incredible. And that's what I think we're doing. And many of you have had that experience. So now I'm hogging all of this. And Carla, I'm sure you're thinking, I want to say this, I want to say that.
What would you? No, I'm not. I'm just coasting along, enjoying what you have to say. But I think that some people would say you're right, to be not to be too modest. I have had a lot of people say thank you through the years. You've changed my life, and God willing, for the better. And it makes you so humble and so grateful to be able to be in a position. I mean, I came into this life wanting to do one thing only, and that was to serve the Creator that for some reason I knew personally was there. I knew it, and I don't know how I knew it. I have no idea to this day, but I came in really aware that there was a Creator and that my job was to serve this Creator, and that I wanted to do that more than anything in this world. And I thought to myself as I was growing up, what can I do to serve? And I went through things like, well, I could work for the State Department and try to make a connection between nations and bring peace among nations and try to make a difference. Oh, I could be a nun. I could be a doctor and go to Africa. And all of these things that you think about when you're a kid. And then it got to where I was starting to plan college. And, I started to put my money where my mouth was and started to go into the political arena to make a difference. And I realized really quickly that the political arena wasn't going to work for me because I did not know how to tell a lie. And I was told by none other than Wheezy Mitch McConnell that was the way politics worked. You had to be able to lie and to lie well in order to be a politician. And I thought, gosh, I'm never going to make it there. So I switched over to pre-med, and then I got engaged, and my beloved said, I would not want a woman that couldn't stay home and help me with my shop. And I thought, well, there goes that. So I ended up taking English, and you don't prepare yourself for anything but a good life with English. You store your mind with a lot of good stuff, but it's not a thing to take if you are aiming for a job. And so I graduated without that job aim, and the marriage didn't work out either, by the way, at all. So all of a sudden, I aimed where I was working at the time, which was librarianship, and I thought, I can make a really good life at this. You can serve people. Every time somebody comes up to you in a library and asks you for something, you can help them. You know, if you don't have a book or something that they need, you can go to Interlibrary Loan and find it somewhere and get it for them. And this is good. I'm serving the way I wanted to serve. And I was content. But then my life kept changing, and I ended up channeling. Just by making life decisions according to my heart and making promises that I kept and seeing my path change constantly in front of me. And all of a sudden it settled down and I was channeling and people were starting to say, you're really helping me out. And I realized, my heaven, I can't believe this, but Spirit has landed me exactly in the best place I could possibly have been. And I get to serve. And how many people, you know, have this feeling and they get it like every day? I mean, golly, somebody writes me almost every day from somewhere in the world. Because my work has been around long enough that it's gone hither and yon and back again. And a lot of people have seen the stuff, and their children have, and then their grandchildren have. And they say, you know, your material has really helped. And I am so thankful, and I get lifted up so much every time I hear that. Because I know, I have faith enough to know that the material is useful. If you take hold of it, it's useful in your life. It can settle you down and set you on a course that you would want to go on and that will do you well. And that is so satisfying to me. So I think that, you know, planning hasn't worked for me in my life. Planning is good. Screw it. You know, it's no good whatsoever. Doesn't work. But trusting Spirit has worked and has set me down right where I hope to be. You know, that Quaker song that sets you down right where you want to be. That's just what it's done for me. I am so grateful. So I guess my thought today is to trust Spirit, if that makes any sense. As you see, Gwen, I've just been floating along and thinking that you're doing a good job of living. My spirit's up for the day. So does that help, or should I keep on going?
let's see if Terry will say anything. You know, it's good to put Terry in the spotlight.
Definitely.
Because she's shy, and you know, oftentimes she has
very not clever, but wise.
But wise and deep perceptions.
Yeah.
And you know, she has actually held the grounding for this work for a long time. You know, she saw the value when it was happening. And, you know, Terry, if it wasn't for Terry, we wouldn't be doing this. Terry and Daphne. Daphne was like a match that started a little fire. And Terry was like the wood that kept the fire burning. Okay?
Yeah.
Big log. Right. And so, Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes.
You don't have to say anything, but anything inspire you in this stuff we're talking about?
Yes, it's I originally was trying. I was in the other realm. I was in the heavenly realm. And I was trying to figure out when people came back from living a life in the third density, how come they were so unfocused and their attention seemed to be all wrapped up on something that they couldn't even seem to identify. And it was really hard to get them in focused back in the higher realms. So I didn't understand what could be done, and so I decided to come here and to find out how things work. So my whole focus has been on how do things work, and I originally took physics because I thought that could explain to me how things work. But it didn't explain how they worked. It just had description, mathematical formulas of
the workings. And so I went more than into metaphysics. And this work has been amazing in answering a lot of the questions that I have had in how things are put together and how things work, and also how people can get like interiorized into a problem and try with this big challenge of how to solve it, and then their attention gets all wrapped up in that, and they don't look outside the box where their solution probably is. So it's been an amazing journey for me to be able to connect with the Elohim and to be able to put things together. And my work with Lynn and Carla has been amazing, and even Daphne, in opening doorways that I've been able to step through, and having a creative team here working in the same direction. And I hope eventually there will be other people that can join in a creative way too. It's like having friends out there that I didn't know were there, and all the people on the line that are coming in and are interested. It's like building a family. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. You know, I thought I'd read a couple of emails that have been coming in. This is from Susan. I'm not a joiner either, but thanks for leading me to this all as one idea. I just got an aha with something you said just now. We can really and accurately say that we have friends in very high places, even higher than the original meaning, because it refers to mere humans, right? And then we got here from Dean Turner in Oklahoma. Firstly, you had a great raw material session yesterday. I thoroughly loved and enjoyed it. That's the one that Carla and I did, The Law of One Made Simple. I've read the Bible a couple times and excerpts from it many times, and I'm still doing it. It's getting easier to feel the parts that are positive and the parts that are mixed. But I learned new the raw yesterday and gained some, additional perspective on others. Thanks. Thanks, Dean, for writing. I hope you don't mind that I read your email. And somebody said, Carla's audio sound is weak, intermittent. And Gary Brownlee said that we have to be more professional and not let the phone ring. Gary, so let's try to prepare for these calls and get the second phone out of your room so when it rings, we don't hear it. And I'll do the same, or take the battery out of it or something.
Well, I need to hear it because that was a person that couldn't get on this morning, and they were trying to figure out how to get on. So sometimes
okay.
I get calls like that, how people can get in touch with us to let us know that they need more information to get on or something.
Okay. Well, we'll figure that out. Maybe
okay.
Jim will answer the phone or something, okay? Let me see if we have any other. Probably do it on time to open all the emails from people, but a lot of people are responding that they got my second email today. So, Colleen in Vancouver says she loves you guys so much. Thank you. I mean, us guys probably spent a lot of our lives not feeling very loved, and it's so nice to feel the love from all of you radiating back to us, and the love of the higher realms radiating into this realm. And you know what? It's 10:56, and I'm going to just, it's Carla or... Let's see. Here's another one. Thank you for your great work. That's from Cecil Miranda. Thank you, Cecil. And thank you for paying attention and for inspiring us, because you guys inspire us, believe it or not. It's like we're doing this as a team, and you're helping. In fact, you're not just helping. If a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, is there any sound? No, there isn't. Even though we know there is, it needs someone to hear it for there to be sound. And you guys are taking the energy and sending it back. And then we send, if you notice, those of you that have been on these calls over a long period, how it's shifted. And some of you say, when you're doing so much better, you sound so much more confident, you're this, you're that. That's not actually what's happening. It's what's happening is we're sending energy out. And when we first started, there was no energy coming back. And then we had to go for like a half an hour going through stuff. And then suddenly energy started to come back. And we did that for quite some time. And the energy's been building. Feel it. If we send energy out to you, and it comes right back, and then we send it out again, and it comes right back. And now, when these calls are happening, the energy starts to come in before the call, not a half hour into it, because we are starting to build our energies in the higher realms just in the anticipation of the call, all of us. And we hit the ground running. So we are doing this together. We have anchored something on this planet. It's really special. And you are doing it just as well as me and Carla and Terry. And by learning how this works, you folks are on the road to becoming the masters of the future. This is the energy. If it doesn't transform the realm, which it may not, I mean, this is a pretty funky realm, it will transform some of the people that you come in contact with. And there's people that, you know, I don't use this as bait, because I could, and it would be wrong, I'd say, when you learn to hold these energies open and you keep your heart open, it means from what we've learned that you're going to graduate this realm. But you know what? That's not the reason to come into these calls, because that would be fear-based. I better show up because of this. You come in to feel the energy because it feels better right now. Having an open heart makes your whole life be different. Everything starts to respond to you differently. And on that note, let me just see if Carla has anything she wants to add, and we'll go into our meditation.
Oh, let's go right into the meditation, Lynn.
Okay. So the universe is one being, and we are all subsets of that one being. And one of the things that happens when you take a body on planet Earth is amnesia, and you lose the connection. Most people lose the connection with all that is. They don't have a memory. And there's not a lot of love here. Love wakes up the connection. Love is the lubrication that makes us see each other in each other, to see me and you and me. And you know, there's a general idea that we are all one. Lots of people have said that. And it's like moving from the idea of being all one to the experience. And that's what this meditation is about, this visualization, moving into the experience. And it's an unusual experience. You know, it's hard to describe to someone that hasn't experienced it, because we feel the connection. We feel each other. We feel our sources. And you notice that I didn't start this in the usual way, and just in the way we're doing it, how present that energy comes in, and that tingling all around us, and the sense of connection. It's because so many of you are hitting the ground running. And you can feel the energy in the silence. Now we can be specific, and we will see the earth. We all have in common two things. The earth is under us. It's our foundation. And the celestial realms are above us. So the earth comes in from the bottom, the earth energy. And the celestial realms come in from the top, through the crown of our head. And from a human level, it's all invisible. Our senses are not designed to pick it up. But we do have a sense that is designed to pick it up. And I don't know what the name for that sense is, but we do it every Sunday. And so imagine the earth energy just coming up through your feet and through your legs and imagine that the earth is alive, and it can feel you. It knows you're there. It's hosting you. And that, just like everything else in the universe, the earth likes to feel affinity with all those beings that are on its surface. So let's tell the earth, in our minds, love her. And we thank her, and we're grateful for her hosting us. Because most people don't know the earth is paying attention to them. The Native Americans do. And let's feel that loving connection with the earth right now and move those energies through our body, through our energy fields of our body, through our genitals, through our chest, through our solar plexus, through our neck, right up to the top of our head. Can you feel that energy moving through your body? And now we're going to move through the top of our head, above our head, to the ceiling. And we're going to move through the ceiling, just in your imagination. Just track this in your imagination. Imagine that you're above your head, and that you're up at the ceiling, and you're not leaving your body. You're not astral traveling. You're in your body. Your body is radiating this energy up in
and down. And you're at the middle point. And you're going through the roof and into the sky. You don't have to worry if this is really happening or not. Just use your imagination and see how your body transforms, the feelings of it. We're moving through the clouds, through the sky. And there's this thing called the veil. And it's an energy field that surrounds the earth that contains us. And I believe it's there by design so that people can't expand. We're going to move through the veil. And we're going to move above the veil. And we're moving through space. And now we're moving through time as well. We're moving through our past lives. We're moving through all the things that created trauma and hardship in our body. All those memories, some that you're aware of and many that you're not. And we're moving through them because all time exists simultaneously. And as you move through them, you move above them. And we finally come to the place where we converge, where we, all of us on this line, all of us on the replays, all of us listening on the internet, we converge and we touch each other, our energies. And, you know, just as we said hello to the earth, and we love the earth, let's say I love you to all of us that are on this call and that are listening. And do you know that we love each other because we couldn't do this by ourselves. Most of us couldn't do this by ourselves. This energy is unique to a group coming together and communing. As Jesus said, when two or more gathered, this is the experience. We bring in all that connection from this group energy. And just imagine, you know, we're just projecting ourselves into this other dimensional place. We're a group. And now we're going to invite our sources, these two group souls that we just hypothesize and can do this, because they exist in another dimension. And there's millions of them. And they are so happy, as they have expressed it, to find a pathway to have their energy felt in this realm. We invite them into our group. Now we have a conglomerate energy that we have built. And we are not stuck here. This is just in this moment. This is a free will association of us and them, and even though it's happening outside of what our physical senses can be aware of, many of you feel the connection. And when we have this huge group energy, we also have the power to create intention. Intention is the human quality that penetrates through the veil and causes things to rearrange in other realms that precipitate into a change in this realm, which can look like a miracle. It's not a miracle. It's just a universal law, not a law of Earth. It's a law that the universe works this way, that it tracks intention, and intention precipitates. And in our group, we have the proviso that intentions have to be for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. And even when we don't know if that's true, we ask that, and this works this way, we don't get the assistance from the other side unless it is true. And sometimes you don't know, so you have to let it be. You have to let it unfold and not say, oh, I put this out, and why didn't it happen? And right now, everyone has something that they would like to happen in their life. It's not happening. Each of you has that. And we'll take a moment and hold silently whatever that is, that it can manifest for you. Whether it's healing, whether it's expressing love to another person, or someone you care about. And you can send them good energy. You can send this energy, this light to them. And again, is the proviso for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. And we're going to take a silent moment here and allow you to hold the space for transformation in any way you see it. And this can be also for your planet. And we're going to do more on the planet later. But just hold that energy. Hold that intention. And put it into this group energy.
I'm not sure where Wren has gone.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I'm talking away. And
there we go. I was just about to say, this has gone on too long. I better do something.
Thank you. Thank you. I muted myself when we went into that silence, and I forgot to unmute myself. Somebody
now
emailed me.
I'm sorry to Terry.
I'm sorry to Terry?
There you go.
Oh, for mute, for the mute.
Yeah.
All right. And, right. Well, I'm going to have to take lessons from Terry, okay? And, now, I was saying something really good, too. And what was I saying? Oh, we have this energy, and we put our hopes, our dreams, our wishes into this energy, and it's amplified. The more you can hold things there, the more they can manifest into the physical. You know, it's not just luck when things happen in the physical. It looks like luck sometimes, but it's not just luck. It starts out with the intentions from other realms coming together and creating synchronicities, healings, whatever. And let's put some of the things that people have emailed me. I know what I was saying. I was saying, it's a good exercise that when you want things to shift and transform, it's a good idea sometimes to write them down. It grounds the energy. When you write anything down and it's in the physical, it makes a connection from the higher realms to the earth, and you might try it. If there's something you'd like to happen, have a little book and write down, keep a journal, and write down things you'd like to happen, and see if that doesn't increase the speed at which your intentions manifest. And we have Chris, who is asking for healing, protection from negative beings and energies, and a job. And then we have Barbara in Twin Falls, Idaho, who is putting her brother's nursing home issues and is pending Medicaid approval. Her sister Pat, her health issues, her friend Kevin's challenges, and our relationship in the light for divine healing and wholeness. May we all be blessed with joy, harmony, and divine wholeness into our divine templates in all aspects of our lives, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. I am grateful for all blessings seen and unseen, and I'm full of gratitude. Thank you. And she's blessing her three kitties and her aging dog, Bogey. And he's very sweet. Thank you for being such a blessing to the people and things you care about. And Lyra in Fort Worth, Texas. This is somebody sending it to someone else. She says, my friend Lyra needs her spleen healed. So I read that, but it's good to put your name. And Eve, who doesn't put her city and doesn't put anything other than her name. So Eve, we send this energy to you. Michael in San Diego, healing for his brother Stephen and his nephew Shane. And Wilbert in Brooklyn, he's asking that the following numbers be the first prize-winning numbers for tonight's powerful lottery jackpot. Now, Wilbert, you forgot to say you're going to give us a big donation if you win. But I'll say this anyway. 1, 5, 7, 11, 21, and BB 25. You know, we do have this guy in Las Vegas. Hi, David, if you're listening. And I believe it happened. Atlantic City. And David went gambling a few months ago, and he said, if I win something, I'm going to send some money to the work
Wayne is doing, and he won $10,000 and sent us a bunch of money. And we got an email from him. We're still waiting for the envelope. That it happened again. Watch your mail. So I'm sure it was just coincidence, right?
Right.
Okay. We have JB in Ann Arbor, Michigan, putting Gabriel, Ms. Michaels, in the light and healing energy during her struggle to survive and to increase functionality in her pancreas. And then we have Donna in Toronto, personal healing and something called acoustic neuroma. And we have Mary in Lafayette, Louisiana, healing of her body from depression and extreme fatigue. And then we have Everett in Phoenix, eyesight. And Terry, who was that doctor that had that thing for macular degeneration?
Dr. Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, Tennant, T-E-N-N-A-N-T, and he's in Texas. And he's an MD, and he discovered a lot about macular degeneration and other eye diseases.
Okay. And Marianne in Los Angeles? She'd like a wonderful new job that is close to home, working in my profession, and a new lasting love relationship in my life with a man that I share common interests with. And Marianne, if I was you, I would be attending, you know, Vaughn Fulkerson, who lives in North Hollywood, on Sundays, is opening his home for people to attend our Sunday sessions live, and he's got a group of people, probably. I don't know if this email went out, but if you're not aware of him, email me, and I'll make sure that you get into contact. And it seems to me, as those Sunday sessions grow, it would be a great place to meet somebody. Okay. And Marianne would like a healing for her body, mind, and spirit, and emotions, and help with finding the perfect romance. God, it could even be Vaughn. Uh-oh, that wasn't Vaughn. Pat in Birmingham, keep my Emily in the pink light of love. Elohim grace, keep her covered with your golden sparkles. The lessons set geometric matrices between her and her boyfriend. Thank you, Elohim, for the coincidence of listening to George Torrey last summer. I never would have met Winfrey in this work. Thank you. Thank you, Pat. And Marcia in Panorama City. And you know what? This is an old one. I think I'm going to stop reading these. Just if you have something that's important, let's just move into the silence. Put it out again. Just put the thought out. Put it into the field for the highest good of all concerned. And honoring free will, we ask for the help and support of all those positive energies in other dimensions to make my own dreams manifest. To make me healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that if you hold the thought that you're dedicated to service, and that if things come to you and blessings come to you, that you're going to use all that to help this planet and increase the strength of the request. And now let's bring this energy of this huge conglomerate energy that we have created with the help of our interdimensional friends and bring this energy down through all the levels, through the clouds, through the veil. We're moving through the veil, through the sky, through our roof, through our ceiling, into the top of our head. And we're going to move it through our body. And everywhere we move it through our body, it's going to clear the energies. And for the highest good, it's going to release stuck energy, miasms, and hurts and pains in your body. And if this works for you on these calls Sunday, I would suggest listen to this part of our call every day, twice a day, because it'll come in on the replays, because these are old habit patterns, and this is like reprogramming your matrix. And that usually, even when you feel it on the call, it comes back. But over time, it starts to not come back, but comes back less. Move this through your body. Any place there's imbalance, release it through your heart, through your solar plexus, through your genitals, through your legs, and back into the center of the earth. And shut your eyes, if they're not already, and feel the connection to the universe, your tiny little body, and this huge energy that you are part of. And that is the connection to all that is. And it's always there. And it's always available when you ask. Doesn't mean you can be here all the time. You have to take care of your mundane life. But you can take care of your mundane life and still be here, I should say. And let's call in the light. Now, you know, calling in the light is one of those few little rituals that we do. And the truth is that we just called in the light, right? What we just did. So this is redundant. And the value of it is that you can use this if you've learned to attach energy to the words. You can use this as a shorthand to making this space happen. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we turn it over to our sources to speak to us through Terry Crown at this moment.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is August 4th, 2013, and we are delighted to be with each and every one of you that wishes connection
with us, whether it is on a later transcript that you are reading or on the replay line or now in the time that the recording is being made. We thank each and every person for being with us and for the participation in every degree that each of you is participating. And we thank you, those that have given donations for the work. If you would like to find more information, we have a number of transcriptions and all the audios that are up, and they are on the spiritchannel.net, and they are available there for free. And we thank Bogdan for having set up this website, and for Gary for keeping it up, and Connie for doing transcriptions, and Susan and Rick and Valerie, every other person that has contributed. As this is a vast body of information that you can go into and find more information, and we are very thankful for everything that you have done, and also for the network that Carla has put up in making her channelings available also. We take a moment and we look at those things that you have put into the light and those things that you would like to change. And we see each of you and we see that within your own separate matrix, that it is possible for you then to step even farther and to access those higher energies that are available to you outside of your toroid matrix, and to be able to step outside and access the healing, the grace, the toolbox that you can then bring into your matrix. And the key is to ask. When you ask, then the universal forces, the higher realms, know that you wish the change, and the key is to ask. And then it makes it easier to bring in the forces that can help you to make the changes that you seek. Asking is a big key. Intending, desiring the change is a big key. For then, it can be given. We take a moment and we look and we see those things that you're asking for. And we see the universe begin to change, to take those things into account and make space for those things that you wish in your life. And we are there beyond manifestation. We are there hearing you. We are there
and we continue to be there, even though our voice was channeling, but we continue to be there. We leave, but we do not leave. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And right now, we're going to move into that place of the group energy, that place where we are operating as a team and with the support of our sources, part of the team. And we're going to create planetary intentions, planetary shifts that we're going to create requests for planetary shifts for the highest good of all concerned. We just did a whole bunch of personal requests, some of which were planetary, but things for your own person, as your own small body, your own little life. And it's really not a little life. You may think it is. It's not. Because each of us is impacting the collective. Each of us is recreating the universe. Each of us who are learning how to connect to this thread of energy, to this bridge of energy beyond the veil of this realm, are recreating the universe, recreating the potentials and possibilities. And this is really important right now, because as many of you know, there are a lot of beings that have negative intentions or self-serving intentions. And you know what? The universe responds to them as well. They do not have the advantage of having these good souls working with them. And we do. And we need more people on each line to make this more effective. But we see our energy, and we can just imagine this group energy superimposed on the physical universe. And we see it surrounding the entire Earth like a blanket. And we see the Earth has all these areas of darkness that are created by those people of negative intention. And we're not going to try to change that. That would be a violation of their free will. That's how free will works. Even though it can create a lot of hardship for people, we have to work around it. And so we do. We flow around all those energies and intentions that are holding anything negative in them, and we move it right down into the Earth, our bodies, and we surround our planet, and there's all those beings on this planet who have incarnated here to lift the vibration, that have an intuitive automatic ability to connect with these energies. They're called wanderers, they're called star seeds, and many of them have gotten lost because they came here to do this, and they come here and they forget that, and we send this energy to them all. We send this hope that they find something that helps them connect and implement their original mission to come down and take a body. Those people, and there's millions and millions of them. Carla Ruckert's work had said in 1983 or in that period of time, there were 65 million wanderers. That is people from the rock room that took bodies. There's probably way more now. And that didn't include, I believe, maybe it did, but I don't think it included the Elohim starseeds that are in this film. And they're all like sleeping seedlings waiting to be awakened. And I put the hope that they can feel this energy and that they find the thing that awakens them, because they are one of the hopes for the planet. We send this energy to Egypt, to all the conflict that's going on there, for the people that are being hurt. Send it to the entire Middle East, for the highest good of all concerned. We send this energy for the quality of discernment in the population, and that people tap into the highest truth. And we surround the planet again with this light, this energy. And we're going to go on an earthquake-seeking mission. Not an earthquake-seeking mission, but a earthquake-fault-seeking mission. And, you know, underground, there are these plates that are against each other called tectonic plates. And when they have a certain movement between them, we end up with an earthquake. And part of this is the Earth releasing its own built-in stresses. And we're going to ask that this energy moves through the crust of the Earth and finds those places where there are tectonic plates and surround them. And if there's any decision-making process here in the consciousness of the infinite, that decision to be made that earthquakes can be released gradually and away from population centers. Small earthquakes above population centers, away from population centers. And if we
okay, Ben. You can go on Skype.
Let me copy my phone.
So Ben, his phone line dropped out. Just bear with us, please, for a moment.
My phone just disconnected us. I'm just on Terry's line. And are you muted, Terry?
I hear you, Wynn.
You hear me? Okay. And so if you happen to live in an area where there is a fault underneath you, then see that energy just moving right through your body and underground. And in particular, let us work and focus our energies. No. focus our energies on the area around what's called the Ring of Fire, around the Pacific Ocean. And we start in South America, and we just be like a, focus this energy like a laser beam. Just one moment. I'm just trying to get on my other line. And,
your Skype is going, Wynn.
Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Okay. Sorry, I'm back. I'm back on my cell phone now. You should hear me. And Terry can get her phone. She brought it in here. Okay. So we're going up through, let's get refocused, Chile, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela. We're the west coast of South America. Can you hear me, Heis?
Yes, loud and clear, except Terry's phone is also coming in. Remove that one, please.
Okay. Let me just mute it. Okay. I don't know how to mute it. I'll put it under a pillow.
I got the mute over here. And...
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So we go up to Central America, through the west coast of Central America. I'm sorry that we have this distraction. We're getting back on focus. Up through the west coast of the United States, Chula Vista, California, San Diego, slowly moving our focus. Orange County, Los Angeles, and we just work with Lawn's group, or whoever's there, even if it's one person, with Los Angeles, holding the space for safety and protection in the L.A. area. We go from Los Angeles, and I mean Los Angeles environs, not just the city. All the area that has earthquake faults within a 30-mile, 50-mile, 100-mile radius of L.A., up through Ventura, through Carmel, Monterey, and then San Francisco and its environs, and then up through north across the Golden Gate Bridge through Sausalito and Marin County, and Concord. We know Francis is in Concord. We thank you for holding the energy in Concord, Francis, and anyone else in that area. And we move from there to Northern California, through Oregon, through the coast of Oregon. You just envision it on a map. Through Portland, through the coast of Washington State, through Seattle. All the mountains, which could turn into volcanoes, and we just see them staying as mountains or small eruptions if that happens. And we have Mount Hood and Mount Rainier. And anywhere else on our planet, this might be the case. When we go to Vancouver in British Columbia and up the coast of Canada and across the southern Alaska, they said in a recent session that Alaska was one of those places that was particularly vulnerable. So let's really focus a lot of energy on the southern coast of Alaska and across to Russia, down the eastern coast of Russia, and then China, and then Singapore and Hong Kong and the Philippines. And Australia, New Zealand, and then, of course, Japan, back to Japan, and back to that volcano in Japan. Not the volcano, the nuclear reactor that has been spewing radiation. And we ask that the radiation be capped and limited for the highest good of all concerned. And Hawaii, we see the entire area. We look at it like we are powerful, and we're moving our energies all the way from the beginning of the universe down through the area surrounding the Ring of Fire. And we just see a huge energy blessing and uplifting that entire area and protecting. And we move it to the middle of the country, what's called the New Madrid Fault, centered in St. Louis. And we see protection all the way from St. Louis to the Gulf of Mexico and into the Gulf of Mexico. We send our energies under the ground like powerful and holding the space together for protection from movements of the tectonic plates that could create a lot of tragic stuff for this country. And anywhere in the world, just put ourselves on automatic finding, earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes, we just ask them to be tempered. And anywhere there's droughts, we ask for rain to fall. And we ask for interventions. We ask for protection. We ask that nuclear weapons be disabled and not be allowed to go off. We ask that any synchronicities that can disable self-serving things that don't violate free will for the highest good of all concerned can occur. We ask for protection from our atmosphere, from things in the sky, chemtrails. We ask for molecular redistribution of anything that can be reconfigured that's harmful to be reconfigured now. We ask for awareness. We ask for awareness amongst the population of this planet. And we ask for more people learning how to create intentions, whether they use God, whether they use Allah, whether they use Elohim and Ra, understanding there's only one energy in the universe. And we ask to amplify the intentions of all those people who are praying and reaching and asking. We ask for the amplification of all those intentions for the protection and the evolution of our planet. And on that note, I want to thank all of you for being here, all of you who have been supporting our work, all of you that have made donations. I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank all of our volunteers who are doing transcripts, who are putting things up on the Spirit Channel so that you can read them. You know, some of you, with so many things we could be doing that we just don't have the time or the help for. And we're doing the best with what we have, and I thank all of you who have been helping us. I'd like to thank, in particular, Terry and Carla for being in support of this Sunday call. I like to thank Daphne for helping light the match. And I like to thank all of you who are showing up. And I think I'm going to play a song here. Let's see if I can do this. And let me see if I've got it here. I'll tell you what, we are just going to end here.